Hello, everyone. I'm Coy Wire. Welcome to CNN 10. Hope you're having an awesome day so far. I've got your news for you this Tuesday, August 12th. Let's make this a teacher time Tuesday. All those out there inspiring and informing us at some point today, show a teacher some love. Give a handshake, high five, or fist bump. Let them know I see you. Without further ado, your news starts now. You've probably heard of tractor beams, the science fiction technology seen in everything from comic books to Star Wars. Once one gets a hold of you, it's not letting go.
Why are we still moving towards it?
We're caught in a tractor beam. It's pulling us in.
There's got to be something you can do.
There's nothing I can do about it, kid. I'm full power. I'm going to have to shut down. You're not going to get me without a fight.
Now, what if I told you this kind of tech is not only closer to being real than you might think, but it's already being used to help patrol the skies for things like drones? That's the case for one company who says their new high-tech system can help hunt down unauthorized drones, take them over, even force them to land. Our Pete Munn team got an up-close look at how the system could help keep the sky safe over major events like the upcoming World Cup.
You can launch.
Copy.
This is what it looks like when drones are flying where they shouldn't and are about to be taken over. This demonstration by Israeli company Defense Solutions comes as drones are taking off as a tool of war.
They are a threat for airports, they are a threat for critical infrastructure.
CEO Zohar Halachmi says even off-the-shelf drones can now be easily outfitted to drop grenades or carry explosives, like during the Ukrainian attack on Russian airbases in June. It is the latest concern of lawmakers on Capitol Hill, as they're calling for greater coordination from federal agencies to protect large events like the 2026 World Cup and 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles.
With minimal skill, bad actors can use these drones to launch attacks or create chaos.
Potential for a coordinated drone attack on art in an airport, seaport, or mass gathering is a credible and growing threat.
Here, Defense System uses an antenna to detect radio signals emitted by drones from the moment they take off, feeding information back to a command center in real time.
You essentially just create your own no-drone zone.
Correct. It's a no-fly zone.
First, a demonstration of a lone, unfriendly drone flying into our airspace. The system detects the drone, then with the push of a button takes control, sending the drone to land in a predetermined spot.
So this is our unfriendly drone here?
Next, a demonstration of multiple hostile drones in the air at one time, what's called a drone swarm.
It looks like they're all coming towards us now.
Once again, the system pulls the drones into its metaphorical tractor beam, setting them down in a safe zone and providing the location of the drone operator whose controls have gone dark.
The pilot has no idea that we're doing this.
Defense says this is based on the science of attacking computer viruses, filtering out good and legal drone users from malicious ones. Even the Federal Aviation Administration has tried the system and similar technology from other companies during a series of tests this spring.
A new tropical storm could be poised to become the first hurricane of the Atlantic season by as soon as tomorrow. Tropical Storm Aaron formed earlier this week just west of Africa's Cabo Verde Islands. As of Monday, the storm had sustained winds of 45 miles per hour and was heading west. It's forecasted to track over the Atlantic's main development region, a stretch of warm water from Africa to the Caribbean that helps storms intensify. It's too early to know exactly how big of a threat Aaron could be, but scientists say near record temperatures in the western Atlantic may help the storm rapidly strengthen into at least a Category 3 hurricane by this weekend. Calling all stargazers! Tonight marks the peak of the year's most popular meteor shower, the Perseids meteor shower. But you may have a hard time seeing it. The culprit? A full moon. Light from our lunar neighbor is expected to wash out the darkness, making it tougher to see meteors as they shoot through the sky at 37 miles per second. Still want to give it a shot? Scientists say your best bet is between 10 p.m. and the hours just before dawn. You can see the meteors with the naked eye, but you'll want to bring a comfy chair and some patience. While you may be able to see up to 25 meteors per hour, there's no guarantee. And if you miss out, don't worry. NASA says another famous shower, the Geminids, will feature moon-free viewing in December. Pop quiz, hot shot, which country is home to the world's tallest waterfall? Venezuela, United States, Switzerland, or Costa Rica? Angel Falls in Venezuela is the world's tallest waterfall, plunging approximately 3,212 feet. That's about twice as high as the Empire State Building. Do not try this at home. Thrill seekers in southeastern Europe got quite the adrenaline rush over the weekend. Divers from around the world gathered in Bosnia and Herzegovina this weekend for the International Waterfall Jumps competition. Yeah, there is such a thing. If the views aren't spectacular enough, just look at these dives. The 16 daredevils jumped off of a waterfall that was the height of about a six-story building.
You gotta know, I've been doing that professional for 2 years now. I've been training 15 years of diving, and I've been traveling all around the world, Japan, Australia, America, everywhere, and this is the most outstanding spot I've ever been.
Scoring focused on the diver's swallow form and posture throughout each jump, and although professional divers traveled from all across the globe, a native Bosnian took home the trophy this year. Congrats. The White House's most storied green space has a brand new look. The iconic Rose Garden, which has hosted everything from diplomats to dinner parties, now features a large patio. The decision to swap the lawn for pavers has been a bit polarizing, but it's far from the first time the space has gotten a facelift. Our Tom Foreman has a look back at some of the biggest changes through the years.
For more than a century, the legendary spot has hosted history. John Kennedy welcomed astronauts here after they returned to Earth.
I'm going to tell you that you've given the United States a great day and a great lift.
Richard Nixon launched his daughter into marriage in the garden. George H.W. Bush welcomed royalty from afar. Bill Clinton, as a young visitor, met President Kennedy there, then apologized for some of his actions during his presidency near the same spot.
I am profoundly sorry.
Pronouncements, parties, and pardons have all had moments in the garden.
I hereby grant you a full pardon.
But change has come, too. From Edith Roosevelt's colonial garden in the early 1900s to Jackie Kennedy's update in the early 1960s, which established the modern look of the Rose Garden, to Melania Trump's try just a few years ago. By comparison, that was a minor remake, but it still triggered outraged opposition and left the First Lady feeling bruised by the backlash, asking people to accept the very act of planting a garden involves hard work and hope in the possibility of a bright future.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, a phenomenal feat that's a testament to putting mind over Matterhorn. Sam Evermore is now the youngest American ever to summit the world-famous Matterhorn at just 11 years old. An iconic peak sitting atop the Alps between Italy and Switzerland, it is one of the tallest mountains in all of Europe. Scaling the nearly 15,000-foot summit is a tall order for even the most experienced climbers. But Sam didn't just climb it. He crushed it. He reached the peak in a record time of just 3 hours and 45 minutes.
You just start hiking and then you just can't stop.
Sam was just like a machine. He didn't stop. He was just moving the whole way. And it's a very difficult and technical and even dangerous mountain. And so there's several disciplines that Sam has had to learn.
Sam and his dad say this feat was years in the making. They were forced to turn around just 1,200 feet from the top last year before giving another go this time. And Sam, well, he's no stranger to mountains. He previously made headlines for climbing Yosemite National Park's El Capitan at just 8 years old. Sam's a superstar, and so are you. Some terrific Tuesday shout-outs today. First one, Miss Gorvine at Red Oak Elementary School in Highland Park, Illinois. Los Cohetes Vuelan. Fly, Rockets, fly. Thank you for this custom shirt. You all signed it. We love CNN 10. We love you, too. And we heard that you make your own CNN 10 broadcast as a class assignment. Gotta see that. And from our YouTube channel, this shout-out goes to the Hammond Secondary School in Hammond, Oklahoma. Go Warriors, rise up. Thank you for spending part of your day with us. Now it's time to get those words ready, your words, to help us write tomorrow's show. Follow me at CoyWire on the socials. Put your unique vocabulary word and definition in the comment section on my most recent post, and we're going to choose a winner to work into tomorrow's show. Put your school, city, state, teacher's name, mascot if you like, and we're going to get you a shout out. Hope you have an awesome day, everyone. We'll see you right back here tomorrow on Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.